Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. We're going to be reading as we close out the armor of God here. So we're going to be preaching verses 18 through 20, but we're going to be reading, just to give context, verses 10 through 20. So please open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be reading from verses 10 through 20. Yeah. We've been making our way through the book of Ephesians here for quite some time. We're almost at the end of that. Next week, we'll wrap up our series in Ephesians. So thankful for you all being here along for this ride. So as we complete the armor of God here, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Please join me in prayer. Father, we just stand in awe and praise you for who you are and what you've done, but this morning in particular, for the fact that we can approach you in prayer. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you that we can draw near to you through Christ. Thank you that we have your ear, Father. So I pray that you would hear us, Lord. Have mercy on us for the ways in which we have sinned against you, Lord. Help us to see Christ and be thankful that it's because of him and his blood in which we can approach you, Lord. So I ask that you would just give us eyes to see you, Lord. Help us in our hearts to praise you for the gift of prayer. Ask that your Spirit would be at work in us. Pray that even in this moment, Spirit, you would be helping us to pray for what we ought to pray. Pray that you would do a great work in this place, in our midst, in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would do far more than we could even think or ask, according to the glory of your name, Lord. So I pray that your name would be glorified this morning, that you would make Jesus big to us, Lord. If there's anyone in this room who has never seen Christ for who he is, has never trusted in him, pray that your Spirit would breathe new life in that heart, that you would quicken that individual to repentance and faith, and that they would find new life in you right here, right now. We thank you. We thank you that you are our helper, Spirit. Continue to help us as we worship you through the preached word. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So as I mentioned, we've been going through the Christian's armor now for the last several weeks, really over a month. And this morning, we're going to find ourselves in some ways closing that out by discussing prayer, the importance of prayer. So I want you to picture in your head the Christian soldier. He has seen his own weakness He's seen his need to rely on the Lord. He sees the forces that he's up against. He's fully equipped with the armor of God. He's got his belt of truth on. He has his breastplate of righteousness on. There are gospel shoes on his feet. He has his shield of faith. He has the helmet of salvation on his head. He has the sword of the Spirit. Sounds like this soldier is ready for battle, does it not? However, that's not entirely the case, because what the Christian soldier then does is fall to his knees. He falls to his knees in prayer because he still knows how desperately he needs help. He still knows how his strength must come from the Lord. So despite the fact he's clothed in the armor of God, which, mind you, is absolutely sufficient, he turns to the one who has given him the armor for help. You see, prayer is a means by which we rely on the armor God has given us. The Christian soldier must be a man of prayer. Matthew Henry says of this verse 18, prayer must buckle on all the other parts of our Christian armor. We must join prayer with all these graces. You see, despite the armor the Christian soldier has, and again, it is armor that can be trusted, but the Christian soldier still must pray. He must pray, as our text tells us, at all times. And as the soldier prays, as he pours out his heart to God, he remembers that he's not alone. He remembers the strength that he relies on. He receives strength and grace needed for battle. He remembers his God. He remembers God's nearness, how he can turn to him always. As he's out there in the midst of war, that he can always at an instant turn to his God. Now he's ready for battle. So if prayer is this important, if despite all the armor we've been given, we are still called to pray, I want us this morning to look at, what is prayer? Why do we need it? When should we be praying? How should we pray? What should be the content of our prayers, and what should our attitude towards prayer be? We're going to see that we should be persevering in prayer. And my hope in unpacking the answer to these questions through the text is that you leave here feeling prepared. In many ways, I want this to be an equipping sermon, that we feel prepared for the battle, because you leave here feeling prepared to pray at all times, as Paul calls us to in this text. So let's first look at, what is prayer? Prayer is going to primarily be the discussion of our sermon today, so I think it's important to define it. Many of the great catechisms of the faith ask that same question. I think the Westminster Catechism kind of defines it most succinctly and clearly. It asks, what is prayer? What is prayer? And it answers, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ, by the help of his Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. So the shorter catechism adds, for things agreeable to his will. I think that's important. Simple enough, nonetheless, to summarize, we as children of God, we are soldiers in the army of God. We offer up our desires to God, albeit in submission to him and his will. In a sense, we pour out our hearts to him. We implore his help, confess our sins. We praise our God for who he is. We thank him for his mercy. And we do it all in the name of Christ, by the help of the Spirit. We're going to see in many ways this morning what a help we have in the Spirit for prayer. But nonetheless, we praise Christ, because Christ is the whole reason we as Christians can pray and trust that our prayers are heard. It is only because of the blood of Christ that our prayers are acceptable to the Father. And he has also sent us his Spirit to help us to pray. So if this is what prayer is, I think the next thing we ought to ask is, why are we to pray? Why are we to pray? We've been given pretty comprehensive armor. One might think, what's the need for Paul to discuss prayer here? And some think of prayer as part of the armor. I know that Paul's certainly not tacking it on here. He doesn't equate it to any piece of armor. I don't really think it matters much if we view it as part of the armor or not, because whether it's part of the armor or not, I think Matthew Henry initially got it right. In many ways, it buckles on the armor. It buckles on all these graces. I personally think it's best to understand prayer is a means by which we rely on our armor. We're called early on there in verses 10 to rely on the strength, to be strong in the strength of the Lord. And prayer is certainly a means in which we rely on our God, a means in which we rely on his strength. This is why we're called to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, because we always at all times need to be relying on our God and the strength of his might. But nonetheless, prayer is, I believe, what helps the Christian to wield his armor. We need our armor, yes, but in the battle, we also need constant prayer, because prayer is our lifeline. So why must we pray? I think verses 10 through 12 make that pretty clear. Because we are to be strong, as I mentioned, strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Implication was there as we worked through that particular verse, the first couple verses here, is that we are weak and needy creatures of ourselves. So we need to rely upon our God. We need to rely upon our God. And if we didn't have constant access to our God himself amidst the war that we are in, we would have all the reason in the world to be afraid. Because as we go out into life, I mean, what these verses really paint for us is a picture of life is war. Life is war. We live in a spiritual war zone. We have an enemy within, sin. We have an enemy without, Satan. We've seen in verse 12 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against evil spiritual forces. And not only are they stronger than us, but the stakes are higher than we could ever imagine. Far greater than any worldly war we could find ourselves in. And look, in war, the soldier, he needs an open line of communication with his commander. And thankfully, as Christian soldiers, we have that. We have that in prayer, an open line of communication with our God, where we can call upon him at any given moment, at any given time, for the strength and grace and power that we need in war. You see, though, it is a scary thought to think of a soldier out on a battlefield. He's out on the battlefield. He has his weaponry, modern day. He has his rifle, but he's lost his walkie-talkie, maybe his sat phone. Maybe is that what they have nowadays? But nonetheless, he has no line of open communication anymore with his commander. All of a sudden, there's no one for him to call for help. He can't call anyone for supplies. He has no one to call for guidance, no way of calling for backup, no way to call in an airstrike if needed. If that were me in war, I'd be terrified. You certainly wouldn't want to find yourself behind enemy lines without some form of communication with your commander. But thankfully, as Christians, we have a wartime walkie-talkie, spiritually speaking, and it's called prayer. And that line of communication with the living God, with our commander, it's always open. You can't lose it. As Christians, we can always call upon our God for the spiritual strength and resources we need for battle. But we do need to call upon him, nonetheless. We need to utilize our walkie-talkie, if you will. Again, this is why after detailing the armor, Paul calls us to pray. Not only to pray, but to be praying at all times. So when do we call? When should we be calling upon the name of the Lord for help? When should we be seeking the assistance of our commander, if you will? Essentially, I'm asking as Christians, when should we be praying? Should it just be set times of prayer? Only in the morning, when we rise, give me Jesus. Only then. Only at the dinner table. Only when we feel like it. Well, according to our text, it's always. Paul says praying at all times, with all prayer, with all perseverance, for all the saints. Pretty comprehensive here. You see, this is what would differentiate us from the illustration of the soldier with the walkie-talkie. We need to be praying at all times. A soldier may only need to utilize his walkie-talkie at some times, but for the Christian, there is never not a time that he does not need to be calling upon the Lord. Because there's never a time that we as Christians are not in war. There's never a time we are not on mission. There's never a time that we aren't in need of help. And we are to live our lives, as the Puritans would say, coram Deo, to live our entire life before God's face. R.C. Sproul says, to live coram Deo is to live one's entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God. So if we're to do that, if we're to be living our entire lives in the presence of God, under his authority, in submission to him, to the glory of his name, if we're to do that, and we're called to do that, if we are to strive to live all of our lives conscious of God's presence amidst a war where we're constantly bombarded by forces working against that. Again, enemy within, sin, which is averse to God, and external enemy, Satan, who's constantly trying to divert our attention away from God. He's constantly trying to get us to sin. These things are always happening. Like, evil is not sleeping. There's always evil principles, again, within and without, pushing against how we're called to live as Christians. In many ways, we are swimming upstream. Therefore, we are called always to be in constant prayer, because we are always in constant need of calling upon our Lord's help, always in constant need of drawing upon his resources, his strength, asking for his assistance. This is precisely why we're called to be praying at all times, why we're called to keep alert with all perseverance. So yes, back to my initial question of, should we just be praying in the morning, at the dinner time, at these specific set times of prayer? I think we should absolutely have those. I think that's vital to the Christian life. I certainly think when Paul calls us to be praying at all times, that consists of regular set times of prayer. There's people in this room who I know and I talk to, and they speak of how sweet that time of prayer is for them. You know, an hour or however much time they set aside in the morning just to read God's word, to commune with him, to praise him, to pray. We all need these times where we're able to slip away into our prayer closet, if you will, break away for a time of communing with the living God in prayer. Jesus himself did that. He had times where he broke away. So we certainly aren't beyond that. If our Lord broke away to pray and have times of prayer, we certainly need to do that. But when you get up from maybe your morning prayer time, you've had your quiet time, you've prayed to the Lord in the morning, set aside time of prayer. You then enter life. You go to your job, you start taking care of your responsibilities, you start dealing with people. Is war not still happening? Did our need to be praying end when our prayer time ended? No, because we face opposition in real time. It's a fight to live all of life in the presence of God, to the glory of God. And one of the means our text gives us for fighting is prayer. You go into work. Maybe it's a fight to do your job the way God calls you to work for his glory, to work hard and love others there. Maybe there's a particular individual it's really hard for you to love at your job. You interact with family and individuals throughout the day. It's a fight sometimes to serve them the way we're called to. Maybe you're worried about unforeseen circumstances in your life. Something happened that you weren't prepared for. Maybe you're tempted as you go about your day. Maybe you're just distracted by the world, just bopping along through life, and you forget your God. You forget you're on mission for him. You forget what your purpose is in life. What do we do as Christians in all these circumstances? We're called to pray without ceasing. It's like we need help all throughout the day. And we can call for help, call for assistance, if you will, at any given time. But because of our pride, we don't even bother to. We don't even bother to. We're drowning. The lifeguard's right there, ready, willing, and able to help. And we don't even cry out for help. That's the folly of our prayerlessness. And prayer, it does not need to be complicated. I think we can complicate sometimes in the Christian life. It could be as simple as saying, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm afraid. Comfort me. Lord, I need wisdom. Guide me. Lord, I need strength to do the right thing. And what about, how does prayer help us to rely on our armor? How does it do that? How does it buckle on, if you will, all these pieces of armor? Well, maybe you struggle. You're going about life and you're struggling to believe something about the faith. So what do? You pray, Lord, help me to see your word as truth amidst a world of confusion. All of a sudden, as a soldier, your belt's tightened. Maybe you're struggling with the weight of your sin. The enemy is just coming and shoving your face in your sin. You are a mess. Look what you've done. You've done it again. How could God ever love you? So you pray. You pray, Lord, help me remember. Help me to remember that your righteousness has been credited to me, and help me to live accordingly and walk in light of that. Your breastplate, it's fastened. You're afraid to share the gospel. How many of us can relate to that feeling? I mean, this family member may hate me if I do this. I know he's averse to the gospel. So what do? Unfortunately, sometimes we cower. We don't do it. We give into the fear. But what can we do? We can say, Lord, help me. Help me to have a readiness to share the peace that you've given me with others. Your shoes are tied. You're struggling with faith. You're struggling to trust God, maybe amidst difficulties in your life, whatever the case may be. You're struggling to believe the promises of God. So you pray, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to believe your promises. Lord, I believe, but please help my unbelief. You've taken up your shield of faith. You're struggling with the brokenness in the world. It's just really weighing on you. As we live in a world that's marred by sin, death, suffering. So you pray, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you've saved me first and foremost, but thank you for the fact that there's an end date to all this for me. Thank you for the fact that I have a future salvation to look forward to. Help me, Lord, to look forward to the hope of glory that you have purchased for me. Your helmet of salvation protects you. You're spending time reading God's word. So you pray, help me. Help me to be changed by this. Open my eyes to your word. Help me to believe this, and not only believe this, Lord, change me by your word. Help me to remember this later today when temptation arises. You've taken up your sword. You see, prayer is a means by which our armor in many ways is wielded. And the good news is God has given us a helper in this. God, I don't know that any of us, Paul wouldn't be calling us to pray at all times, as if he's saying there's always a need for a Christian to grow more in prayer, to pray more, to pray in more circumstances, to pray at more times. Paul wouldn't be calling us to do this if there were Christians out there getting A++s on their prayer exams. No one's perfectly praying as we should. No one's perfectly living the Christian life as we should. So the good news is God has given you a helper. Paul tells us we are to pray at all times in what? In the Spirit. We are to pray in the Spirit. That the Spirit is our helper in prayer. I think this can sound confusing, though. Some people may like, does this mean praying in tongues? No, it certainly doesn't. I want to demystify it for us in some ways. How do I pray in the Spirit? How do you pray in the Spirit? The truth of the matter is, anytime you're praying in the Spirit. You're probably praying in the Spirit. Often, you're not even aware of it. Simply put, we pray in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. And if not for the Spirit of the living God living inside you, if not for Him, you would not be able to pray at all. The truth of the matter is, anytime true prayer is happening, it is in the Spirit. All true prayer is prayer in the Spirit. John Bunyan aptly states, a man without the help of the Spirit cannot so much as pray once, much less continue on in prayer, continue in a sweet praying frame. And why that is because there's a sense in which prayer is Trinitarian. We serve a triune God, Father, Son, Spirit. So we pray to the Father, but we can't just pray to the Father. We can't just go to God. We're too sinful. A human being can't wake up one morning and say, you know what? I'm going to approach the throne of God in prayer. I'm going to go to the creator of the universe, who I'm separated from, who I'm really at enmity with. We cannot go to the Father apart from the mediator, the Son, the Lord Jesus. So we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We pray through the Son. But the truth of the matter is we need help to do any of this. So we pray in the Spirit. There's a sense that when we pray, we are doing something, sure. Like we're taking an action. But really, prayer is a gift. Prayer is a gift. When we're praying, God's doing something in us. The triune God is enabling us to pray. Because again, you see, we can only pray because of what God has done for us and in us. He has sent His Son. Think about this. There's a sense in which it took the death of the Messiah, of the perfect Son of God, so that you could be forgiven and have your prayers heard. That's how holy God is. But that's the gift of prayer. That is the gift of prayer. And Christ, He's continually interceding for us. He says, yes, Father. Yes, hear this one's prayers. This one's one of mine. Hear them. Not because of him, not because of her, but because of me, Father. Hear their prayers. And then He has sent His Spirit to help us, to work in our hearts and enable us to pray. So if we want to pray, the first thing that we need to have done is to have looked to Christ. To look to Christ. You know what everyone's first prayer should be if you're not a Christian? Lord, have mercy on me. Save me. Save me. Save me. Help me. If you want to pray and you're not a Christian, trust in Christ and have your prayers heard by the living God. But you see, the Spirit, so back to praying in the Spirit. What does the Spirit do when we pray? The Spirit is the one who causes us to think rightly about the one we even pray to. We talked a little bit about this last week when we were talking about the Word of God. Apart from the help of the Holy Spirit, a human being can't even comprehend the God they pray to. I know lots of people who are, and it's well-meaning, I don't fault them, but they're sending love and prayers and all these things they think they're sending. And unfortunately, if they're not in Christ, if they don't have the Spirit of the living God, they're sending nothing. Nothing's happening. Apart from the help of the Holy Spirit, a human being can't even comprehend the God they pray to. The things of God, God's word tells us, are spiritually discerned. Earlier on, I believe it's actually when Paul's praying for the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened to the things of God, to what God has done for us in Christ. So I think we can glean from this, it takes the Spirit to show us who it is that we are praying to. And all praise and glory be to God, he does just that. The Spirit gives us spiritual sight so that we can comprehend the Almighty God that we pray to. It's also the Spirit. So the Spirit helps us to comprehend the one we pray to, praying in the Spirit. The Spirit is also, as the Puritans would say, the one who puts us into a posture of prayer. The Spirit, praying in the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who puts us into a posture of prayer. What do I mean by this? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who shows you your need for prayer. The Holy Spirit is the one who shows you your need for grace. The Holy Spirit is the one who shows us our need for God, our need for forgiveness. We would not be able to obtain the true posture of prayer, which is that of humility. It says, you are God. Your will be done. I am not. I am subservient. I am the one in need of help. I am the one in need of help. You are the sovereign King. If not for the Holy Spirit impressing upon us our need to run to God and flee to God and showing us who God is, we would never be able to obtain the true posture of prayer. Because I'll be the first to admit, there are times I need to pray. I need to pray. I mean, we need to pray at all times, it tells us, just about any and every circumstances. But there's times I need to pray, but my heart's not in the right posture. I don't mean literally, like I'm not in the right posture, like my goodness, I'm not on my knees, therefore I can't pray. But I mean my heart is not in the right posture to pray. My heart's not desperate. I need help to even be able to pray. So maybe this has happened to you. There's other times, though, that I am just brought to my knees. Maybe literally, maybe figuratively. I think that's what praying on our knees does. It's a posture of humility. But sometimes I'm literally or figuratively brought to my knees. I'm brought to a true posture of prayer. I'm brought to this place where I sense my need for God. Maybe this has happened to you. You're brought to a place where you finally see clearly through spiritual eyes the one you pray to. You see that he truly does hear my prayers. Like you're consciously aware of the fact that the living God, hears you. You have his ear. You have his ear. When this is the Spirit working. This is the Spirit working. It's working a posture of prayer in a sinful heart that struggles to even see how much it needs God, how desperately reliant upon God it is. So the Spirit puts us in a posture of prayer. The Spirit also helps us to even know what to pray for. Anyone ever struggle with that? I want to pray, but I'm not really sure what to pray for. We're prone to pray for the wrong things as sinful human beings. If not for the Spirit, we wouldn't even know what to pray for. He leads us in prayer. He leads us to pray in accordance with God's will. Because one writes that our human nature, this is who we are in our sinful nature. Our sinful nature is such that we are apt, prone, instead of bread, to ask for a stone. Instead of fish, to ask for a scorpion. To pray for what would do us ill and against what is for our good. We don't even know what we need to pray for apart from the living God and his Holy Spirit. We don't know what's truly best. We don't always know what we need. And this is, God's word tells us this. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness. Why? For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the good news is that you, Christian, you are a child. You are a child, and all children of God are led by the Spirit of God. And part of that is being led into prayer. Prayer that is acceptable and heard by the living God. We're prompted to pray to him. We're led into what even to pray for. We're led to pray in accordance with his will. And because of the Spirit's help, because of his intercession according to the will of God, your prayers are heard. So, praying in the Spirit. In many ways, what does that look like, right? The three things we kind of work through there. It looks like the Spirit helps us to comprehend the one we're even praying to. The Spirit puts us in a posture of prayer. And the Spirit is the one who leads us into what to even pray for. I don't think this is a comprehensive summary of how praying in the Spirit is, but I think those are some helpful things, because there's some individuals that would think, hey, this is basically like, this is some mystical experience where something crazy needs to be happening, and something crazy does need to be happening. Like the Spirit is enabling you to pray. That's the crazy thing that's happening. You're, as a sinful human being, you're praying to God and he's hearing you. He's hearing you. He's hearing you. So what do we do with that? What are some good applications, if you will? I think the first thing is Ephesians told us this earlier on. We were called to not groan the Spirit. Not groan the Spirit. So first and foremost, I think that's a good application. If we're to pray in the Spirit, we should not groan the Spirit. In the context of this, what I'm saying is when we're prompted to pray, when it's pressed upon my heart that I need to go to God, we don't want to ignore that. We don't want to ignore that. Listen to that. Don't quench the Spirit, if you will. Go to the Lord in prayer. He's showing you that you need to do that. I think secondly, this might sound silly, but be prayerful about praying. I need to pray about praying. Well, I'm starting to pray. Tom Jr.'s not here, I don't think. He picked up, but he's like, you're up there when you pray. And you're kind of, it's probably like, man, come on, the sermon's already long. Now he's praying. He's not even praying for his first 2 minutes up there before he prays. And that's like, I'm coming into the presence of God. Help me. Help me even know what to say. Help me to know what your people need. Help me to pray. Ask God to put you in the right posture when you pray. And focus your attention on him. Focus your attention on the one you're praying to. But then also, if we find ourselves in prayer and we don't know what to pray for, we can ask what we need to pray for. And we may not get this inspiration always, right? But maybe then what we could do is open up our Bibles and ask the Holy Spirit to help us pray the Scriptures and let the Scriptures guide our prayers. Or you know what? Maybe God does that. Maybe God does put it on your heart that, hey, I need to be praying for so-and-so. I need to be praying for so-and-so. I've recently heard of some pretty crazy experiences of in prayer, something being impressed upon an individual and some pretty miraculous things happening. Forgive me if I sound overly Pentecostal there. I'm not. But I do think my theological camp, right? I think we can neglect the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes the propensity of people who care about sound doctrine and God's word is to think that the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Word, and neglect what the Spirit's doing in our hearts regularly. That's my little side note there. But we can leave here encouraged because we have a helper in the Spirit. And a main function of his is to help us pray. So we are to pray humbly, reliant upon him, yes. But we can pray confidently because we have the Spirit. So we can trust, we can run to the throne of grace. As children, we can run to our Father in prayer and trust that he hears us. He may not always answer the way we want to, but he hears us because his Spirit indwells us and is helping us as Christians to pray. Nonetheless, it is helpful to have a framework for how to pray. Like what ought to be the content of our prayers? Thankfully, Paul answers that for us in our text. Paul says we are to pray with all prayer and supplication in verse 18. We should pray all kinds of prayers to God, like general prayers. We should ask him for things specifically. We should pray corporately. We should pray alone. We should pray as we're going throughout our day. I think this clues us into something of what the content of our prayers should be. And all throughout the scriptures, we get different kinds of picture of prayer. And now, I don't want to read something into the text, right? But Paul is calling us to pray all prayers. And Christians can commonly boil down to, like, things we should be praying about to that acrostic acts: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Paul says our prayers ought to entail all kinds of prayers. So I think they should at least entail those things. And there's more examples than just those in Scripture. But let's quickly just work through that just to give us a template for things we can pray about, ways we can pray. Adoration, what's that look like? Praise to God simply for who he is. We see the Psalms littered with this. That's why I love you guys are going through Psalms on Sunday evening. Like bless the Lord, O my soul. God, I'm beginning to pray, God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my deliverer. You are my savior. You are God. You are holy. In many ways, adoration, we are simply acknowledging and praising the one in which we pray to. Confession, what's that look like? We're praying to a holy God. We need to ask forgiveness for sins. Like, Lord, I must acknowledge my sin to you, my transgressions. Lord, against you, you only have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. Whatever that may be, on any given day, we are all littered with sin in thought, word, and deed. We want to confess that to the Lord. Forgive us our debts, Lord. We have sinned against you. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Confession. Thanksgiving. What's that look like? We want our prayers to entail thanksgiving. Well, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that with you there is forgiveness so that you may be feared. Thank you that your steadfast love and mercy, it never ceases. Thank you that you have made me and I am yours. Thank you that I am your child. What it would be, your word tells me that. Thank you. Thank you as the giver of all good gifts. Thank you for all the ways in which you have blessed me. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you. Supplication. What does that look like? Paul tells us right in the text, we ought to pray with supplication, asking God for the things we need. So what we can do is identify our needs. We are all needy people. Identify our needs, both spiritual and physical, and ask the Lord for them. In submission to his will, do what you will, but Lord, help me, have mercy on me, lead me, deliver me, heal me, provide for me. But again, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. We submit our needs to his will, trusting he's a good father who will give us what we need. It's God who gets to decide what's best and how he answers. But I do, why'd I go through that? Nearly every petition there, nearly every example of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, praise was taken directly from the scriptures, many from the Psalms. And I say this to illustrate that we have a roadmap. We have a roadmap. A GPS, if you will, for how to pray. And it's God's word. It's this book. So we ought to let the scriptures guide our prayers and conform our prayers to the scriptures. And when we're reading the scriptures, pray. That's why it's take up the sword of the Spirit and then like instantly going into praying at all times. Be praying at all times when you're reading God's word. Let that guide your prayer. And again, this isn't a comprehensive picture of types of prayers we see in the Bible, but it gives us a good snippet of what I think Paul means when he says all prayer and supplication. But he also tells us not only to pray for ourselves, I think that's important, but he tells us to make supplication for all the saints, to pray for others, to pray for specific needs your brothers and sisters have, to pray for specific needs your family has, your friends have, your church members have. Not only do you and I have needs, like personally, that only God can meet, but everyone in this church, everyone in your family, everyone you know has needs that only God can meet. So we make supplication, requests to God, not only for ourselves, but for others. And I do want to say we do that really well for each other at Kaz Church. I'm always really encouraged by the ways in which we're praying for one another. But Paul even in a sense illustrates this need to pray for others, supplication for all the saints. He's like, look, pray for me. Think about that. In a sense, that's reassuring. Even the apostle Paul himself desperately needed prayer. And what Paul asks those in Ephesus to pray for him about is gospel ministry. Look at that. Look at verse 19. He says, and also pray for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So lastly, but certainly not leastly, we want to be praying for gospel ministry. I think we can draw from that. Like we should pray for ourselves to be able to witness and proclaim the gospel boldly. We should pray for others to do the same. There's a lot of gospel ministry that happens here at Kaz Church. Pray for me on Sundays. Pray for youth ministry on Wednesdays. Pray for the recovery ministry happening on Thursdays. Pray for the Sunday school teachers upstairs and downstairs, adults and children. Pray for basketball ministry when that's happening. So many different areas and circumstances, just even within the life of Kaz Church, where we can be praying for gospel ministry. Because if Paul needed his ministry saturated in prayer, we certainly do at Kaz Church. Like if any of the ministry we do is going to be effective, it needs to be bathed in prayer. If that was true for Paul, certainly that's true for us. So I hope if anything, we can see that there's never a shortage of things to be praying for at all times, in all ways, for all the saints with all prayer and supplication. Because we always need the one with all power to be acting on our behalf. And this may seem daunting. It's a lot to think about, to pray about. So what should our attitude be towards prayer? This is in closing. Simply put, we should persevere in prayer. Our attitude towards prayer should be one of perseverance. Paul says that. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Be watchful, look for reasons to pray. Jesus even told his disciples, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation, because our fleshly propensity is to not necessarily want to pray. And once we're praying, our propensity is to not keep praying, to not persevere in prayer. We get distracted, things pop into our head. Maybe we get bored, we get tired, we give up, fall asleep, maybe. It's hard to persist in prayer. Is it not? Because it's spiritual work and it's hard work, which is precisely why Paul calls us to persevere in prayer. But the good news is that we have been given the Spirit to help us in this endeavor, to help us persevere in prayer, to help us press on in prayer, to grow us more and more as people of prayer, so that we can persevere in the battle against sin, the battle against Satan, persevere in the advancement of the kingdom of God. God has not left us on our own in this endeavor, but he has given us his Spirit, and he has given us a means to call upon himself. So let us remember as we press on in this war to be, as Paul calls us, to praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to pray always and in all ways, and know that the one we pray to, our Father, is the one who holds it all in his hands. So when we pray in submission to him, submission to his will. And I hope more than anything, we can just be reminded that we have his ear, church. He hears our prayers always. So let's go to him in prayer this morning. Please join me. Father, we just thank you that you enable us and help us to pray. I ask that you would grow us more and more as a people of prayer here at Kaz Church. Teach us how to pray as we ought, to pray in accordance with your will, and we pray that you would just do great things, Lord, from your people praying. I pray that you would even in this place, in this church, that you would start in many ways in our hearts, Lord, a revival. Let just Kaz Church be a place that is so vibrant. It's so clear and evident the Spirit of the living God is working here. Pray that you use our prayers to that end, that we would cry out to you to just do a great work. Let it first and foremost start in us, in our hearts, in this church, Lord, and let that pour over and spill over into the community, a community that desperately needs to know the love of God in Christ. So we ask that you would just do more than we think or ask, Lord, through Kaz Church, through the various ministry that happens here, Lord Jesus, and that you would just do more than we think or ask in our own hearts, Lord. Help us to know more and more of your love and pray to you more and more. In your name we pray. Amen. If you would please stand.